Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you on this Palm Sunday, and good morning to those who are joining us online, and I'll hand over to Alison.
Good morning everybody and welcome to worship in our service this morning, especially any newcomers or visitors. We have a visitor. The walking group, the next outing is this afternoon to Low Valley Field in Couris. Please meet in the church car park at 2 p.m. A full programme is available in the vestibule, and contact Maureen Black for information. Cycling Club C4, the next outing is on Saturday the 26th of April to the Isle of Great Cumbrae. Always a good one. Contact Derek Peters for information. Holy Week and Easter services. Tonight it's a Songs of Praise at 6:30 p.m. in Tully Allen and Kincardine. Monday the 14th is Gathering at 8 p.m, which is a short 15 minute time for reflection. That's in Kearney Hill. Tuesday the 15th, also a gathering at 8 p.m. in Kearney Hill. Wednesday the 16th, gathering 8 p.m. in Kearney Hill. Thursday the 17th is Maundy Thursday, and that's 7 p.m. in Limekilns Church. Friday the 18th is Good Friday, and it's at Kearney Hill Church at 8 p.m. for communion. Sunday, Easter morning, is a change in what we usually do. 7:30 a.m. it's at Capernaum Pier.
No, it's not. It's at Limekilns Pier.
Okay. It's at Limekilns Pier.
And has been for since before lockdown.
Okay, that's fine. So it's not at Kearney Hill as it usually is. It's at Limekilns Pier at 7:30 a.m. And we're blessed that the clocks are not going forward that day. And then at 11:30, as usual, in Kearney Hill for Sunday, for Easter Sunday morning service. The Inner Wheel Daffodil Tea, that's taking place this afternoon. There's information on the table in the vestibule. People want to come along to that at Crossford Village Hall at 2 o'clock. Stated annual meeting is of the congregation will be held after worship here on Sunday the 4th of May. Coffee mornings, our next coffee morning is Saturday the 10th of May and runs from 10 a.m. till 12. Please note the date, and if you can help, please add your name to the list in the vestibule. Flowers for the cross. We'll be decorating the cross as usual during the Easter service in church, so please bring along cut flowers so that we can do this. Any blooms will do. Please cut the stem short so it's an inch or so is fine. Other informations are on the printed sheet and can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from the website if you don't have a copy. And finally, for those on Zoom, here's a look at the order of service. Thank you.
Thank you, Alison. Limekilns Pier is the middle of the kind of piers that we have. It's the one with the car park on the promenade at Limekilns, and that is 7:30 in the morning, and you're welcome to have breakfast in the church hall down at Limekilns, and then you can come back, pick up your Sunday paper, put your feet up for a little while, and then come to church for communion. If you've any questions about these, you know how to get hold of me, I'm sure. And I should say, I hope you did get a palm cross. There are two sizes, and I saw there were two sizes on offer from the company I get these, and I thought, well, just in case there are children, I'll get some little crosses. But down at Limekilns, the vast majority of people asked for the little one, and it was mostly ladies who said, I can put this in my handbag. So there are little ones as well as big ones, and please, there are plenty, so if you would like to take one as a gift, then feel free to do so. And I don't know, am I meant to do something, Marion, with the prayer inset? No, it's just there for people to read and see and use. Good. Just in case I'd forgotten, which is highly likely. It's good to be here in worship on Palm Sunday. We're going to begin by singing hymn 279, make way for Christ the King. Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we present our gifts before you, seeking your blessing upon them. Receive all that we offer of our time, talent, and money, and use it to your glory and your praise, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Alistair is leading us in prayer this morning.
Let's now draw near to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord of Majesty, who entered the city of Jerusalem to shouts of Hosanna, receiving the shouts and the welcome of many, come into our church today. Receive our welcome and our acclaim. You are our God, and we will praise you. You are our God, and we will exalt you. Come to rule in the hearts and minds of all who worship here, and help us all to go out and to proclaim you as Christ the King over all the world and over every life. King of Kings, we remember that many who proclaimed you as King on the Sunday shouted crucify less than 1 week later on the Friday before you died on the cross. You reign over all, and we rejoice that we have been redeemed by your loving sacrifice and triumphant resurrection. May our love for you never falter, but remain constant now and forever. We give thanks to you, Lord, for you are good, Your love endures forever. And we can all shout, Hallelujah. So we offer our worship to you, our Lord, with all our love. We offer our confessions too. Please forgive us for the wrongs we have done, for bad temper and angry words, for being greedy and wanting the best for ourselves, for making other people unhappy. Whatever our sins, Heavenly Father, forgive us. Your word says that if we confess our sins to you, you will keep your promise and do what is right. You will forgive us our sins and purify us from all wrongdoing. For the blood of Jesus, your Son, purifies us from every sin. So hear us now in the silence as we bring those sins to you. Almighty God, by your mercy, forgive us and raise us up again. Father, cleanse our hearts and minds, fill us with your Holy Spirit, and open our lips to show forth your praise. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord, forgive us these words of prayer we now say together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 367, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Palm Sunday service, we are departing from the Lent study guide, at least in terms of the readings from the Bible. It seemed a little bit strange when I looked at the book and realised there was no real mention of the triumphal entry for this Palm Sunday, and it just seemed a bit odd to me not to have that. However, by using something that is very familiar to us, we can easily skim over the story, because these are words we know well, and that is almost always a mistake. If you think you know a Bible passage really well, slow down and read it again. It's when we take time to read and seek to understand that we find something new, and sometimes something surprising. This is an important reading, and we can be sure of that from the fact that all four Gospels record this story. A lot of the stories in the Gospel are in 1, 2, 3 of the Gospels, and not in all of them, but this one is. The Gospel writers wanted us to know what happened. As much as we need to understand what is happening in the story of Jesus arriving in Jerusalem, we know that there is something in this story that is setting the scene for everything that will follow through what we call Holy Week. The crowd who are eager to welcome Jesus as the one who comes in the name of the Lord will shout just as enthusiastically for his crucifixion. A lot of what I'm going to say here, Alistair stole for his prayer. So if it seems I'm repeating, it's all Alistair's fault. But it's good to hear these things more than once. To set the scene for Jesus' arrival, there are a number of things that we need to remember or be aware of. One of these is how busy Jerusalem would be in the run-up to Passover. Jews from all over the world long to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. And there we should think of an ancient city of narrow streets and alleyways. Maybe added to that, something akin to the Edinburgh Festival. If you've ever tried to get through Edinburgh while the fringe is on, and maybe particularly if you're trying to get up or down the Royal Mile when all the street performers are there, that is a kind of picture of Jerusalem at Passover time. For many Jewish pilgrims, this is a once-in-a-lifetime event, and so the crowd is full of excitement and emotion. For the temple authorities, this is exactly what they want and exactly what they fear. They want the Hebrew people to know that the temple is the holiest place on earth, and to desire to celebrate the feast that defines the nation, that defines them as God's people, in and around the temple. But the fear that is there is that this statement of identity can spill over into anger and violence against the occupying authority. The Romans are not welcome. The politics of power and the politics of compromise are right through the story from the triumphal entry to Jesus' crucifixion. They're as much part of that world as they are part of our world. And we might wonder, how often did Roman authority have a quiet word with Jerusalem authority about what is happening, and let's keep a lid on things? If insurrection breaks out, Pontius Pilate has to answer to Rome, and you can guarantee he will act decisively and probably violently. Rebellion would be crushed. A self-appointed Messiah will need to be dealt with, And the temple authorities know that. And that will have to be swift and decisive, because it could put the temple under threat. And so we are in the run-up to Passover, and into this mix of hope, fear, religious fervour, and political crisis comes Jesus. Jesus doesn't just arrive, he arrives fulfilling the words spoken by Zechariah about a king riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Many know who Jesus should be. Many know who Jesus certainly is not. But only Jesus knows who he really is as he rides into Jerusalem. We're going to read part of one of those psalms that was used as people went to Jerusalem to the temple, and we're going to read the story of the triumphal entry. Alison is reading for us.
This morning's readings are taken from the Old Testament, Psalm 118, verses 19 to 29. This is the gate of the Lord. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The second reading this morning is the New Testament reading, Mark 11, verses 1 to 11, the triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Amen, and may God bless us this reading from his holy word.
Hymn 374, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe."
Thank you.
As I've already said, when I began preparation for this Palm Sunday and noticed that the theme didn't include the triumphal entry, I thought I'd do something different. And I think I said to Derek in the process that I was going to depart from the study guide. When I sat down to prepare the talk, this sermon, what struck me as I did so was how well the story of the triumphal entry fits into the overall theme of the Lent study guide. The title, Beginning to Flourish, and themes based on what we require to flourish as human beings, is very much at the heart of this story that we've just read. Jesus arrives at Jerusalem riding on a donkey. This is something that Jesus has very clearly planned and chooses to do. It's not an accident. This visual fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy is Jesus saying, I am your king. This was and is a well-known messianic text. The disciples, the crowd, and the Jerusalem authorities know it. And we can be quite sure that the Roman authorities would not be lagging far behind, because somebody would say, this is what it means. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. For a nation to flourish, for the people of a nation to flourish, there is a real need for good government. For this world to flourish, there is need for good government that goes beyond national boundaries and any kind of narrow nationalism. The need for good government is for the greater good that comes from peace and justice for all. On Palm Sunday, we pick up the cry of the crowd that welcomed Jesus to Jerusalem. We too use the words of the Psalms to praise God. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, we join the festal procession. The crowd welcomed Jesus with their cry of Hosanna. The Hebrew word Hosanna simply means save. In other words, Lord, save us is Hosanna. It had become an expression of praise because the people knew that salvation came from God. It was normal for people to sing psalms as they approached Jerusalem, heading for the temple. There would have been many cries of Hosanna and a longing for God to save his people. The problem for the Jewish authorities is that the crowd are looking at this man, Jesus, riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, and the crowd are saying, this is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowd are using the words of Psalm 118. There are those in the crowd who are not just longing for the restoration of Israel, they're looking to Jesus as the one who will be that leader. It would take very little for this enthusiasm to become open rebellion against Roman authority and Roman rule. By arriving at Jerusalem in the way he does, Jesus declares that he is the longed-for king. However, we have to recognize a very common human failing that allows us to see what we think is there or think should be there instead of what is actually there. Zechariah's vision of a righteous king bringing salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, does not seem to fit with the warrior king image that many assumed the Messiah would be. Of course, they did so with a certain amount of justification. You see, they're looking for a king like David, somebody who would occupy David's throne. And who was David? The youngest son, the least, a shepherd boy. And by the time of Jesus, the myth of David had grown. So this shepherd boy becomes the great military leader of God's people. He's become a kind of Superman. The Messiah may well be the gentle shepherd of God's people, but he will be a ferocious leader against the enemies of God's people. And we do not need to be reminded in our world today of the damage that such thinking does. Because when we think that God will supply the kind of leader we think that leader should be, this is about earthly power and not about righteousness before God. When we put together the four accounts of the triumphal entry, we get a picture of Jesus arriving and receiving the acknowledgement of the crowd. And when asked to silence the crowd, Jesus' reply is that if he did so, the very stones would cry out. That's from Luke's Gospel. There is always a temptation to fit Jesus to our vision of how things should be, to have Jesus confirm our theology, to do what many wanted to do with Jesus by taking him and making him king. The crowd had often wanted to do that, to make him king, to make him be the king that they wanted. And it's easy enough for us to welcome Jesus and to say that Jesus should be a savior in the image that we create. There are many things that we want from God through Jesus, and we can very easily present our wants as the things we need, and since we are the people of God, this is what God will do. Jesus doesn't answer our wants, but our real need. This king, gentle and riding on a donkey, is the king of love, as we so often sing and say. Jesus is the love of God incarnate. We have already said today, your kingdom come, your will be done, with the qualification that earth mirrors heaven. Not that heaven should mirror earth. Put another way, only when the kingdoms of earth are subordinate to the kingdom of heaven will the kingdoms of earth thrive. Whatever our kingdoms are, political, theological, territorial, societal, or whatever, our great need is to follow the one who is the true servant king, under whose rule we are freed to love and to be loved. I put some words from William Barclay as the kind of subtext to the title for this service. It may well be that the world is denied miracle after miracle and triumph after triumph because we will not bring to Christ what we have and what we are. And that applies to nations as much as it does to individuals. And if we are to see Jesus as the true servant king, as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords, we have his words and his example of leadership. What did Jesus say about true greatness? And if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, the only way is to be the servant of all. Who was it that said, there is no greater love than this, than to die for your friends? And who said, you are my friends? Who is the true servant king? And only where we place the kingdom of heaven as the superior kingdom to any earthly kingdom or nation, will the nations thrive as they could, because we will be servants of the servant king. Amen. Before Alistair leads us in our prayers for others, we're going to sing hymn number 502. Take my life, Lord, let it be. Our prayers for others.
Let us pray. O God, our Father, we thank you for all the blessings of life, not only the personal blessings we receive, but also the blessings you pour out on our country. Help us to see them and to count them and to remember them, that our lives may flow in ceaseless praise. God of justice, we pray for our elected representatives. councillors, MSPs and MPs. We ask that Sir Keir Starmer's leadership would model integrity in politics. We pray that this would be a season in which trust in politicians would be restored, in which promises are fulfilled rather than broken, and in which our leaders look to serve others rather than to puff themselves up. Our news this week has been dominated by US President Trump's tariffs. For many of us, stocks and shares, stock markets and economics are not necessarily the most important topic of conversation. Maybe the phrase money makes the world go round is quite possibly true in how it affects us all. And whether disproportionate tariffs or rampant inflation, both rich and poor literally pay the price, especially the poor. Lord, you did not intend for us to, each one of us, live in isolation from each other, but global trade reminds us of our interdependence. We need each other. Above all, we need you. May President Trump see that making America great does not necessarily come by putting America first. Lord Jesus, we pray for those in our Christian family living in countries whose governments place severe restrictions on the practice of faith. We ask you to enable your people to be trustworthy citizens, obedient where possible to the laws of the land. We praise you that you came as the perfect fulfillment of the law that is written on human hearts. And we pray that the faithfulness of our brothers and sisters will be an encouragement to believers everywhere. We remember our own families too. We pray for those who are growing up, that they may increase in wisdom and love. For those facing changes, that they meet them with hope. For those who are weak, that they may find strength. For those with heavy burdens, that they may carry them lightly. For those who are old and frail, that they may grow in faith. And so in the silence now, we bring to you our own personal prayers for those known to us who are in need of your loving care and intervention at this time. So, Father, we ask you to hear our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Our closing praise, hymn number 396, And Can It Be That I Should Gain?
Thank you.
peace and in the love of Christ to serve the servant King, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.